My dad's desire of CWH was to bring comfort, hope, and encouragement from God's Word and to bring the message of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. In today's message, The Christian Inheritance, Dad reveals the wonderful things we receive when we accept Jesus.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are, another week has rolled by, and you've opened your doors, and we're coming into your house, your home, your apartment, or your bedroom, where maybe you're in a bedridden or in a wheelchair. Who cares? We're all gathering together around the throne of God. All over the world, Christian people are gathering to worship the Lord Jesus. And if you're not a Christian, we're praying that during this service you can become one, because we're going to have a sermon you're really going to like, because it's about the Christian's inheritance. And it tells some of the things that we get when we accept Jesus. And they're wonderful things that money can't buy. And they're things that last forever and ever and ever. You don't want to miss out. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters. And we just appreciate them so much. And that way you can kind of see what people are thinking and where they're at. And so the first one we have is from Fort Myers, Florida. And they write and say, I enjoy your services every Sunday morning. I still have a lot of problems that my son died so young. I hope to see him again. Take care and God bless all of you. I put that in because we hear from many people who lose loved ones and taken away. And when we announce these and give these names of these letters, just pray for them. Pray that God will give them strength and courage and that hope that comes through Jesus Christ. Here's Des Moines, Iowa. I want to thank you for all that you do. I watch you Sunday mornings, and I have learned a lot from your services. I've been in prison for 17 years, and you've been with me every step of the way. I'm going to be going to a halfway house in here in Iowa. This is a step out for me. My faith is stronger because of you. I hope you'll be here for me when I'm in the halfway house and receive your newsletters. Please pray for me that I get to the halfway house, that I'll have safety. Pray that I'll get there soon, your friend in Christ. And we hear from so many prisoners, people in prison. And here's a gentleman, and he's been there for 17 years, and now he's coming out, and it's a halfway house, and he's nervous about getting back into society. And we need to pray for these people. Many of these people accept the Lord while they're in prison, and they come out and are shining lights for Jesus. And we're going to pray for this dear brother. He's in Des Moines, Iowa, and he'll be getting out pretty soon, and just help that God will help him. I know he will. This is Beresford, South Dakota. Thank you for these 7 years of you being our church on the couch. We love you and your message about being born again with the blood of Jesus. Amen, brother. I always get nervous when they're sitting on a couch or a lazy chair, a lazy boy rocker watching the service. You know, I preach in the churches for 66 years, and they sit on those old hard pews as hard as a rock, and they go to sleep there. If you're sitting on a couch, you don't stand a chance. So stay awake. Oh, dear, I'm going to worry about you the whole time. Let's see. Here's one more I want to share. Odessa, Minnesota. And they write, how I enjoy your Sunday morning worship service. They're so down to earth for all of us to understand. And how important it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus, our dear Savior. Thank you. Thank you for this huge blessing. I also love the new song you write. I use it for part of my Ladies' Aid devotions. I'll enjoy hearing and taking part in them. And so when they're talking about the new song, it's a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month is reasons that we should be thankful people in the Lord Jesus. And you get your pencil and paper. I'm going to give the address at the close of the service. And you can write in. It's free and postpaid. It's called The New Song. And you'll just love it. And we really ought to charge subscription rates, but we don't. We're such nice people, they just send it free. So how can you beat that? But let's look at some of this wonderful inheritance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus into our heart, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and we're born again, there are a lot of things happen. We're born again. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will never leave us. He comes when we accept Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, and he will never leave us until we get to the pearly gates, until we walk the golden streets. And then we'll get to meet the Holy Spirit, the wonderful Spirit of God that is with his people no matter what. I will be with you forever once you accept Jesus. We have no idea of all the wonderful blessings we have in the Lord. And Peter writes about it. And let's just look at his passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days." And so here's this wonderful Lord Jesus, and he says he's giving us an inheritance. He says it's incorruptible, like the incorruptible God in Romans 1:23. It's undefiled, like the great high priest Jesus is holy and undefiled and harmless, Hebrews 7:26. It fadeth not away, like Jesus, never dims, never fades, only grows brighter and more beautiful, Hebrews 13:8. It's reserved in heaven. It's not here on earth with thieves and moths and all the rest. Get it? But it is in heaven, Matthew 6:20, and is kept by the power of Almighty God, John 10:28 and 29. That's your inheritance. You say, well, what are they? I want to know what they are. Well, I've listed some of them. First of all, we have the forgiveness of sins. Paul, preaching in Antioch and Pisidia, declared, "Therefore, let it be known unto you, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And so this sins, we all have sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, God tells us, Romans 3:23. There is none righteous, no, not one, God tells us, and he knows us all, Romans 3:10. So the great problem is, and the great problem is this, say sin cannot enter heaven, not one speck. If we even smell like sin, we can't get into heaven. And so what are we going to do? Here, for instance, we're told in Revelation 21, verse 27, "There in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so we can't get to heaven because we're all sinners. And so we have Calvary. And Jesus goes on the Calvary and he sheds his blood on the cross. And in 1 John 1:7, it says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." And so he's saying, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Praise his name, he washed it all away. And Isaiah then tells us how he clothes us with the righteousness of God. In Isaiah 61, verse 10, Isaiah said, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." Don't you see it? We are in Jesus, and we're perfect, and we have forgiveness of sins. That's the first thing. The second thing, we are accepted and loved by God. Now, the prophet Isaiah said so beautiful in Isaiah 32, verse 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." And so he gives that wonderful peace that we can have. And we don't have to worry about heaven or about hell. We don't have to worry about being forsaken. He will always be with us. And so we rejoice in the Lord. And this wonderful love, there's a special love that he has for those who trust him, those who become his people. But I'm going to tell you something else. If you don't belong to God, he loves you just the same. He wants you to come to him and you'll have that special love. For instance, in Romans 8, verses 8 and 10, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were sinners, Christ died for us. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so this wonderful Lord, there's a wonderful love that we have. And you can, and somebody put it like that. One of the songwriters put it like this. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Stuart Robertson tells a beautiful story of a little girl and her mother and the wonderful love that they had between them. And he says the little girl is sitting on her mother's lap, and she's so very fond of her mother, and she calls her her very own mother. And as she sat on her mother's lap, she likes to rejoice over the, like she had a wonderful treasure in that wonderful mother. And she was touching one after the other the feature of her mother's face with her little fingers, her mother's lips and eyes and cheeks and hair, and just adoring her mother and loving her mother. And then the little girl said, "Mother, can I see in your heart?" And the mother said, "Well, I don't know about that, but you can look into my eyes and see if you can see anything." And the little girl climbed up and peered into her mother's eyes. And then she cried gleefully, "Mother, I can see in your heart. And there's a wee little girl way down there, and it's me." I want to tell you something, friend. Listen to me. If you look down deep into the heart of God, you'll see what that little girl saw. You'll see yourself. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're in the heart of God. Just like that little girl. Can you believe it? You better believe it. It's what God tells us. I'll take you and come into your heart. I'll wash away your sins, and I'll be with you forever. That's what we get when we accept Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Then there's other things. There's the abundance of grace. How many times we fail in the Christian pilgrimage. We accept Jesus, and we think everything is fine. And before the day goes over, you get mad at something, or you kick the dog, or you say a bad word, or you have a bad thought. Even our thoughts, if they're wrong, they're wicked in the sight of God. And we sin. And so when we Christians sin, what happens when Christians sin? We still remain a child of God no matter what we do. Mark that down, Buster. Because we're told in 2 Corinthians 12:9, God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And I'm going to tell you something. Of all the religions in all of the world, there's none of them that have grace. It's only Christianity. It's only Jesus. It's only God. Grace. That means unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, and yet God helps us. That's the grace that's given to the children of God. "My grace is sufficient for thee." Again in Romans 5:20, he says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And that wonderful grace is there. And so we inherit that grace of God. So when we stumble, he helps us, and he doesn't throw us away. He just works with us to get us back on our feet and back on our path. And then we have power over the devil and over sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." You're not under law. You're under grace. The law cannot intimidate us. We're not under the law. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. We obey those things because God taught it, but we're under grace. And we do not serve the Lord because of the law. We serve the Lord and keep his commandments because of love, not the law. The cold, hard law, but love, the love and grace of God. That's why we love him. That's why we serve him. And so St. John says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, which he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." And God will give us strength and help to carry on and to move on. And then we have another inheritance of God. We have an assurance of salvation, this wonderful, glorious salvation. And he says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So when we receive the Lord, he saves us. And then he tells us in John, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus is saying, you don't hold on to me, I hold on to you, and you put your faith in me, and I'm your Father, I'm your Savior. And then the Father in verse 29 says, my Father who given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And so you can say, I know I have eternal life. I know I'm born again and going to be with God, because Jesus says when I come to him, he makes me his child and he holds me in his hand. I don't hold him, he holds me. Oh, dear God, don't I love to preach that? And you say, oh, you don't know my sins. I don't know what your sins are. You don't know mine. It doesn't matter. You come to Jesus and he'll wash them away and make you clean. That's our inheritance. Then we have joy unspeakable. Peter writes and he says in 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. There's a wonderful joy in the soul when we take the Lord. There's a peace that comes, and it might not come immediately. You might have a lot of feelings when you accept Jesus. You may have none. It's just like a contract. You're signing a contract, and the contract says, Jesus says, if you receive me, I'll come into your heart, and I'll take away your sin. And you say, I receive you. That's all it is. You may have feelings, you may not have feelings, but as you walk with the Lord, and I've been a Christian now 86 years, and I failed a lot of ways, but I'm going to tell you, I have a joy in my heart. I just know that I belong to Jesus, and he's keeping me and helping me. And then we have victory over death. Think of that. One time I feared death. It was frightening and fearful. It was almost 80 years ago. I remember, though it was yesterday, I was the pallbearer for a close classmate friend of mine. His name was Glenn Lockman. I can still see him in that casket with a pasty white face, his hands crossed and his eyes closed. And death was an enemy that scared my heart, my young heart. But things are different now. I've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's conquered death, and he's a victor over death. And for, like Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Gain, get it? Oh, that death doesn't frighten me anymore. It's just like a beautiful light shining, and it's going to take me home. For me to live, a living Bible says, for me to live, for to me, living means opportunities for Christ. And dying, well, that's better yet. The Apostle Paul is telling us, look forward to death, anticipate death. I read about Daniel Webster on the night of his death, October 24th, 1852. He was about to leave this world, and his doctor, Dr. Jeffries, knowing Webster's religious faith, has suggested, maybe I could read one of the hymns, and Webster said yes. And he read about the there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that song and beneath that flood shall lose all their guilty stains. And then he closed by saying, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save, when this poor lisping, trembling tongue lies silent in the grave. And I'm going to tell you, Daniel Webster was a magnificent man with a human language, but his, says my stomach, I'm just with this tongue of mine, I can't put it into words. And Daniel Webster died trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dwight L. Moody, a few hours before going home to heaven, caught a glimpse of the glory awaiting him. Awakening out of a sleep, Moody said, earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, this is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go. And his son, who was at his bedside, said, no, father, you're dreaming. No, said Dwight L. Moody, I am not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces. And shortly thereafter, he went to be with the Lord. Martin Luther talks about it. He says, our God is the God from whom cometh salvation. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. And the sting of death is gone, and it's only a shadow. And all it can do is usher us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have another wonderful inheritance. We have a home over there called heaven. That wonderful, wonderful heaven. And he talked about that. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas says, I want to go to heaven, Jesus, but I don't know the way. How do I get there? And Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to heaven. No man comes to the Father but by me. The way to God is through a person. We have rituals and ceremonies and all of the rest of this stuff. And there's a place for those things, some of those things. But the way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And you need to come to him and you need to trust him. And it'll give you peace at heart and joy as you travel along. And you'll know that, oh, I have a Savior. And that Savior's with me. And he's going to take me through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to take me into heaven's gates. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's what Paul is saying. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. And to die is much better. It's gain. I read about an old lady who was traveling from Buffalo, New York to Cleveland, Ohio by boat. And a terrible storm came upon the boat, and it appeared they might not survive. And many were praying, and some of them were crying, but the little old lady was calm and praising Jesus. Someone asked her, how can you be so calm when we're in such danger? We may sink at any moment. And the little old lady replied, I was just sitting here loving my Lord and not caring what may happen. You see, I have two daughters. One died last year and went to be with the Lord. The other daughter lives in Cleveland. And I was just sitting here wondering which one of them I was going to visit, the one in Cleveland or the one in heaven. That's where we live. That's where we live. And it's all because of Jesus. That's our inheritance. And when we see Jesus, somebody put it like this. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal joy. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, so no human help in sight. But there's one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem, just go to him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. And then they close by saying, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trial will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race. Till we see Christ. Dear friend, do you have this inheritance? You can have it. You can have it, and I'll tell you how. You'll just say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. I'll turn from my evil ways. Jesus always taught repentance. Turn from those things that are wrong. Face those things that are right. So, dear Jesus, just please come into my heart. Take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Children can do that. I was 10 years old Well, I've got a letter this last week from a little girl, 5 years old. Now she's 85. I guess not a little girl anymore, but when she was 85, she accepted Jesus. I'm going to read that letter in a couple of weeks. And so you can come to Jesus. Now, if you do, then you write to us. We'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, we need to hear from you, and we need your help because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And we've been on almost 40 years, and God has always provided. But now a lot of those people have gone on to glory. And so you send us a gift. And you say, well, what if you don't spend it right? We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books on how much we take in and how we spend it. Every nickel, every penny, they drive you crazy. But we're not afraid because we're all above board. So now I'm going to pray. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And then we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Sudan. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now. I thank you for the young people that are coming, the children that have been listening and they're praying to Jesus. And I thank you for all the new names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Sudan. And they're under the gun, many of them giving their lives and their homes and their families are torn up. And they're having a horrible time. And I know you're with them and just encourage them and help them to know that they encourage us and they make us stronger and more dedicated when we see their dedication. Oh, bless them. Be with those on beds of sickness today, Lord. Be with those who are aged and those who are having hard times and they're lonely and they don't think anybody cares, but you care and the Christian Worship Hour cares. Help them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you write, you can get on our website and find us, christianworshiphour.com, or else box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And next week we'll be back and we're going to preach about the cross, the beautiful cross of Jesus. So don't you miss it. So you pray and we'll give God all the glory. And I know that the Word of God and the Spirit of God will go all over the world. 90% of the world's population is touched by shortwave radio. And we know he's at work and he'll do his work. And the kingdom of God is growing. So God bless you all as we think about him, trust him. You pray for us. We'll pray for you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.